When I was in college, way back before the automobile was created, and I first started going to this community of believers at Michigan State University, go green, go Spartans, 2 o'clock. Premise would be done before the tip-off. I would be done way before two, but. And they would say, they called people saints, and I'm like, saints? I remember one time, one of the leaders called me a saint, and I'm like, no, not me. But you know, if you're in Christ, you are a saint. That's what Paul says. Yep, that's what he says. That's kind of amazing. This is Youth Sunday, if you haven't kind of figured it out. And once again, I think the youth worship band did an amazing job this morning. And I remember months and months ago, I sat down with them and I gave them a challenge. And I remember they looked at me like, "Oh, this sounds really hard." And the challenge was to transition from song to song to song without talking, without introducing or giving commentary. And I challenged them that the people who wrote these songs believe that they heard from God and that what they were singing and what they wrote was God's word to the body of Christ and to a world. And I challenged them to allow the Holy Spirit to speak instead of them through the songs and between the songs. And if you've ever been up here, that's not easy to do. That quiet spot, you just feel like you have to say something. And I think sometimes we're saying exactly what the Lord wants to say, and that encourages us, and that's totally, you know, exhortation is something that's in the Bible, and it's healthy, and it's good, and it's God. Sometimes, though, we can actually interrupt what the Holy Spirit's trying to say, and we should just let Him talk. So I just want to encourage young people, you did it. You nailed it. Yeah. And both services, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and spoke to me fresh and different, not the same thing, both services. And so it was really, hopefully that happened to some of you. You just felt the Lord just kind of speak into your heart. Amen? Well, we're going to, I love it. All right, we're going to, because it's Youth Sunday, and oftentimes what happens is we minister up here, but we don't ever really talk much about the youth ministry in Harvest or ministry to kids. And this morning, we're going to focus on that. We're going to talk about God's heart for our young people and for our kids. We're going to talk about maybe how His emotion and His passion for them, and how it might affect us, and the importance of what God wants to do in their lives. And, you know, how many would agree with me? Raising kids can be really hard. And raising parents is even harder. There's these two little elementary school kids, and they were talking about the difficulty they were having in raising their parents. And the one boy says, you know, for such a long time, they were trying to teach me to walk. And they say, you know, get up, walk, you can do it. And they're encouraging me, they're cheering me, just walk. And then they're encouraging me to talk. You know, and as soon as I got it down, they told me to sit down and shut up. I'm so confused. And then I was listening to a guy recently who was a youth pastor, and he was talking to parents, and he says, you know, he said, raising teenagers is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. It's a good visual. Think about it for a minute, right? Raising teenagers like nailing Jell-O to a tree. It's hard. It's hard, but God's grace is there for us. We're going to look at a familiar portion of Scripture this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to speak fresh on a familiar Scripture. Because if you do, sometimes the most familiar Scriptures can be the ones that impact us the most, because we allow the Holy Spirit to kind of sit on that word. In Mark 10, it's a story of an encounter of Jesus, and he's out in public, and there's public ministry occurring. And it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. As I was looking at this portion of scripture in a fresh way, I was realizing that in their culture, it was a little different than our culture. See, in their culture, they didn't have teenagers. They didn't exist. No, they didn't kill them before they got to that age. It's just some of your parents are like, I've had that thought. No. But no, in reality, what would happen is you were either a child or you're an adult. And what happened, somewhere around 12 or 13 years of age, you actually became an adult and you were recognized as an adult. And before your teenagers get too excited about that thinking, cool, yeah, you also had to have the responsibilities and act like adults. And it's like, whoa, okay, maybe not. Maybe I need an extra 6 years of grace here. But in our culture, we have a culture that doesn't really look at young people as adults until they turn 18. And that's when some of you kick them out of the house, and then a couple years later, they come back. But the point is, however your family system works, our culture would consider them children until 18. So for the sake of the scripture, I think Jesus, if he were sitting here, young people, don't be offended if somebody calls you a child, because in reality, that's kind of how society looks at you. And it's not a bad thing. And so in the scripture, we see Jesus' disciples have a certain attitude towards young people, towards kids. And part of their attitude is Jesus has got really important things to do, and he doesn't really need to be bothered by a bunch of young people. That's their attitude. And so there's these people trying to bring young people to Jesus, and the disciples weren't even passive about it. It says they rebuke them with authority. Don't do this. Stop. Don't you understand that Jesus' primary ministry in the world is to grown-ups? It's to big people. That's what the disciples were saying in their heart. Jesus doesn't have time for you. And sometimes in the body of Christ, whether intentionally or unintentionally, sometimes we have an attitude, or we can have an attitude that says, God has great things for you when you're an adult. And we fashion a lot of what we do in the body of Christ to make sure that adults are taken care of. And we spend a lot of energy trying to make sure adults have access to Jesus. And sometimes we can have an attitude that says, you know, children's ministry and youth ministries are a necessary evil, meaning we have to have them so that adults will come to our church so Jesus can do the ministry he intends to do in their lives. And so we have nurseries and we have all this stuff, but there can be a mentality that says those ministries exist only so real ministry can occur with adults. And it's interesting, Jesus looks at this, and just as unpassive as the disciples were rebuking the people, the scripture here says in verse 14, it says that Jesus was indignant. And I'm a simple man, so when I read it, I said, I need to look this up. And as I said in the first service, it takes a little more time sometimes to prepare sermons now because we don't have Pastor Brad. Because, see, I would have just walked down the office, knocked on the door, and said, hey, Brad, what's this word indignant mean? And he would know. You know? And it was funny. We used to do that sometimes. I'd say, hey, Brad, I'm reading the scripture, and I'm sensing my whole life I was taught that this was the meaning of the scripture. But when I was doing the thing I talk about, the 15 minutes in a chair with a cup of coffee and my Bible and my journal, spending time with God every day, and I looked at it and I said, I really felt the Holy Spirit resting upon my heart on the scripture that maybe it meant this. What do you think? He says, "What? Let's look." And he would pull out the Greek or the Hebrew, and he'd look at it and he says, my goodness, Mike, I think you have something there. It's on point. And I've never heard it taught that way either. But Brad's not here, so I basically pulled out the Greek, and I started looking at this word, and it was really interesting that this word indignant actually meant to grieve much. To grieve much. And so what happened when he saw his disciples doing this and rebuking people and putting a roadblock and a hindrance to young people coming to him, it basically what it meant is he felt deep emotional pain by what his disciples were doing. The mature ones in the body of Christ, his team, you know, the superstars. And it's amazing because most of them would probably admit at that point in their life, they weren't where Jesus started with them. That they had grown and some maturity had occurred and this stuff. But, you know, but sometimes we forget where we came from. And sometimes when we look at kids or youth and we look at their immaturity, both in the natural and in the spiritual, we kind of forget that we were a lot like that when we first met Jesus. And if we were really honest, we're just a little more polished, but in our heart, we're still a lot like that. And one of my favorite scriptures is the one where Paul in Romans says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but think so as to have sound judgment. Each is given a measure of faith. You know, and I think that attitude of the disciples were a little bit, they were thinking a little more highly of themselves than they should. And Jesus wasn't passive. It said he felt deep emotion by their of just sorrow by their actions. It really, really bothered him in a deep way. And so he looks at his disciples and he says to them, he says, you know what? Stop hindering them. Stop hindering them. And I started thinking about this, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, sometimes we put hindrances up that keep our young people and our children, our youth from coming to Christ. And sometimes it's just out of ignorance. We don't understand. And I think we need to be a church and we need to be adults and we need to be parents. We need to be, you know, kingdom people that at least pause and ask the question. Is there anything in my life that I'm doing? Is there anything in our ministries, the way we're structured? Is there anything we're doing that is hindering young people from coming to Christ? And a number of months ago, actually this entire school year, my heart's been kind of troubled and I've been processing this because there are some young people that are just, they have so much zeal and passion for God and they're just amazing young people, and I even just put a post up on Facebook during the service that there's a couple of these young men that are going off to college together, and I'm going to really miss them because they have impacted my life. But there was a number of times that even those two young people couldn't come to youth. They couldn't come to Mosaic because our youth group was on a Monday night. And this workload of schools, of papers and projects on Tuesdays that were due every week, they had to make a choice. Excel in my academics or go to church. And it was a struggle and a turmoil for them. And you know what I call that? I call that a hindrance. I call that is something in place that maybe could be removed. And so I began to pray and process through this and began to look at this thing and say, wait a second. What if we change the night? Because if those who love God have a hard time coming to receive more from him, those who don't even have a value system of what Jesus could do in their life, they've never experienced his embrace. They've never experienced his touch. They've never experienced what it's like to have the kindness of God warm their heart. Then, for them to overcome that barrier of just a night and schoolwork, well, then maybe we need to adjust. And so one of the things we've decided to do in the youth ministry in Mosaic is we're going to move to Friday nights. Because another thing I've noticed, young people have this gift. And the gift is called procrastination. Which means no matter how much homework they had or how many projects that were due on Monday, they would not start on Friday nights. just wouldn't happen. Believe me, I know. And so we said, let's move it to Friday nights for them so they have more time. And then I began to process, and I was at the Refuge, and there was another event, had nothing to do with our youth ministry or anything like that, but there was a youth pastor. There were some of his teens that were like in a band. And that youth pastor looked at me and said, my goodness, man, is this where your youth meet? With the stage and the sound and the lights and all this space? I'm like, no. He goes, why not? He said, my youth would kill for a facility like this. And I started wondering, like, why don't we? And I started looking at this thing and looking at the scripture where Jesus said, hey, don't hinder them, because the kingdom of God belongs to them. Belongs to them. And I think sometimes we have this attitude that, you know, the kingdom of God belongs to the spiritually mature. It belongs to those who have been discipled for a long period of time. It belongs to those that, you know, have gone through the classes and the programs and have been set free from, you know, the really big sins. And, you know, it's like the kingdom of God belongs to them. And Jesus looks at these kids and he says, no, the kingdom of God belongs to them right now. And I started thinking, hey, who is the only person who has the right to give the kingdom to somebody? The king. And in the scripture, the king was saying, I choose to give it to them now. And if you don't receive kingdom stuff like they do, you can't even enter it. And it's not like leftover kingdom stuff. I'm giving them the whole stuff. And so one of the things we started processing and I started praying about Mosaic and moving it to Friday night was, do you know how many young people on a weekly basis are up here serving in worship, ministering to you, and bringing in the presence of God? Usually at least a third to half the team are young people every week. Every week. Every week. And another thing is, have you noticed, oftentimes, I've noticed this, when the altar team comes forward, oftentimes there's young people up here ministering to you in the prophetic and gifts of healing and words of knowledge and the grace and the love of a Savior. They're ministering to you. But we never give them an opportunity to do those things to their generation, where the ministry team is ministering to the kids in their schools and in their neighborhoods. And so we can say, wait a second, if the kingdom belongs to them and we move to Friday nights, let's invite their friends so that they can bring their friends into the presence of God through worship. So they can minister gifts of healing and the prophecy and deliverance to their generation. There are young people who have gone through, you know, Harvest Supernatural School of Ministry, and they're more than willing to minister to you, but we never give them an opportunity to minister to their generation. And so we started praying about it, that we'd move it to Friday nights. They would take this band and they would minister to their generation. We'd form worship teams and ministry teams with adults and students ministering to their generation. And what did Jesus say? Hey, all I want you to do is just bring them to me. If you do, I'll lay my hand on them and I'll bless them. I'll bless them. I was thinking about this and asking myself the question, if it's just like, why is it so important to bring them to Jesus when they're young? And not wait. Look at this fairly new Gallup poll that came out. In this Gallup poll, it says 19 out of 20 Christians are saved before the age of 25. 19 out of 20. after the age of 25, only 1 in 10,000 will receive Christ. Now, I want you to think about that. What that says is if they don't receive Christ before they get their undergraduate degree, there's only a 1 in 10,000 chance they will. There are 20,000 middle school and high school students in Chesapeake right now. 20,000 of them right now. What that means is if they don't receive Christ before they graduate from their undergraduate, only 2 of them will. 2 students. Out of all the students in middle school and high school right now, only 2 will receive Christ if we don't reach them now. As they get older and they progress on after college, it says after the age of 35, it's 1 in 50,000. 45, 1 in 200,000. And if you're at that beautiful, approaching that beautiful age of the 50-somethings, do you realize only 1 out of 300,000 people my age will ever receive Christ if they haven't already? I remember I was at a conference at CBN, and it was like a pastor's conference or whatever, and just through some circumstances, I got an opportunity to sit down with a man called Winky Pratney. And Winky is a revivalist. He loves young people and youth. He's been with Youth with a Mission and, you know, in Christ for the Nations and way back Keith Green, way back in the Last Days Ministries for all you old people who can remember, or your parents who just kept, said there was only music, but only music was Keith Green's, you know. And so I'm sitting there and I'm having lunch with him in the Founders Inn, and I'm, you know, we're just kind of casual talking. And then I look at Winky and I said, you know, why are you a youth pastor? You're old. And he smiles, and I smile now too, because I'm older than he was then, now. And he said, well, I don't know if I'm really a youth pastor. I'm an evangelist. And the most reachable people in the world are youth. And if that's the case, why wouldn't I give my life to reaching them? And I didn't say this in the first service, but I started thinking about this chart, these statistics. Do you realize that the window of opportunity to win people to Christ is small, but the window of opportunity to mature and disciple them is large? Which means if your youth ministry focuses primarily on discipling them and not winning them, the reality is they're going to have opportunity to be discipled and experience Christian maturity for years and years to come. But if you don't focus on winning them when they're students, then that window gets smaller and smaller as they get older. And it was interesting, when I was looking at this thing, I was reminded of a story about the revivalist and great evangelist D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody came back from one of his meetings, and we put the story up there. And it says, Moody once returned from preaching a revival meeting and reported that there had been 2.5 conversions. Someone asked, 2 adults, 1 child? Moody replied, no. 2 children and 1 adult. The children gave their whole lives. The adults only had half to give. Now think about that for a moment. And I think there's kingdom value in ministering to everybody and winning everybody and discipling everybody. But if I win a friend of mine who's 50 years old to the Lord, and I disciple him, and I bring him to Harvest Supernatural School and Ministry, and I teach him how to move in the gifts and expand the kingdom, and I should, because God's plan. The reality is he's only got a certain amount of years to do that. But if I win a 15-year-old to the Lord, and I teach him how to move in the gifts And he gets the impartation of the supernatural school of ministry and stuff. He's got years upon years upon years to extend and expand the kingdom. Now, what if they're 10 or 8 or 6? See, Jesus said the kingdom belongs to them now. And so in this transition, we actually are believing a couple of things are going to happen. We're going to be a church of open arms, healed hearts, radically, what? Transform lives. And I want to encourage you in this text. It said that people were bringing kids to Jesus. It didn't say parents. It said people. Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, neighbors. Everybody was joining in, trying to bring kids to Jesus so Jesus could touch them and bless them. And guess what? When we move on May 1st to Friday nights, I want to recruit all of you to be a part of that, of just helping us do one thing. Bring young people to Jesus so he can touch them and bless them and tell them that the kingdom is theirs. Is theirs. It says in Mark 9:37, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. I was thinking about that. One of the most powerful ways that we actually receive Christ and the Father in our lives is by bringing young people, kids, to Jesus, by receiving them. And I started thinking, you know, this youth ministry, I've never been cool. I've never really done games. You know what I've realized? You know what they really need? Is extended family. They need extended moms and dads and aunts and uncles that will love them, hug them, encourage them, believe in them. I've heard Pastor David say this a number of times from the pulpit. That we need to be a church. We need to flip this idea of church upside down. The idea that says, listen, you need to behave, right? Okay, then you can belong, right? Or behave, behave, believe, and then you can belong. And he says, no, wait, belong. And then maybe believe. And then you'll behave. Because, hey, those of us that have Christ indwelling in us, no, it's still hard to behave. But how hard is it when he doesn't live inside of us? Where he's not, we don't have the grace to forgive and the grace to empower to live righteous. So what if we had a student ministry with open arms that says, you know what, you can come. We don't expect you to behave yet. Or even believe. But we want to be a family. And we just start loving on them. And eventually, one day, they're sitting there. They're listening to the worship or the preaching of the word, you know, at that place. Or the ministry happens and they need healing. And we invite anybody else needs healing. And they come up and that kid's knees like all messed up. And all of a sudden, another young person lays hand on him. And God instantaneously heals him. And a young person prays for him and says, you know, God did that for you. The kingdom of God is in your midst. All you have to do is believe. And then you begin to watch young people who start to believe, and you begin to watch things change in their lives because they're empowered by Christ. And that never would have happened unless there's a group of adults and young adults and parents and seniors and other students that says, you know what? Man, we have a place for you on Friday nights. Just come be with us. You know, we'll feed you pizza. You can hang out. And in that room, maybe you're going to catch what we caught one day. Maybe you'll get a revelation of who this Jesus is. And he'll change your life. In Psalm 71, verse 18, it's more of a popular verse now than it used to be in my life. It's now that I'm old and gray. Before I could never relate to it, now more so. Do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. You might be sitting here thinking, I'm too old for youth ministry. Not according to Psalm 71. If you got gray, there you go. Gray should not keep you out. Gray should be your invitation to enter. Seriously. Well, all I do is bake cookies every Friday and hug young people, and you'll be their favorite person. At first, it'll be because of the cookies. Eventually, the hugs. And then one day, they'll sit down and say, Mrs. Smith, why do you hang out with us? Why? Because now that I'm old and gray, I want to declare to you the mighty miracles that God has done in my life and can in yours. In Psalm 145, verse 4, it says, let each generation tell his children of your mighty acts, that to proclaim your power. And for every parent here who loves Jesus with all their heart, who has taught their children about the grace of God, whose children have received the grace of God from a young age and are maturing and growing through their teen years. For every one of you, there are hundreds of teenagers who don't have parents like that, who need adopted spiritual moms and dads that can impart to them the same things that you have imparted to your biological children. There is a generation of kids, children, youth, and young adults who have still never heard the good news. I'm going to close with this. I was working a couple months ago, and I was talking to one of the managers at the restaurant. And I said, Ryan, you should pray about that. And he looked at me and he says, you know, Pastor Mike, I'm 28 years old. I've never prayed a day in my life. I said, get out. You prayed for a school test or something. He says, no, I have never prayed a day in my life. Who would I pray to? And when I look at these statistics, I realize with man it's impossible. With God it's possible. But it'll take so much more work and effort to see Ryan come into the kingdom. What if he would have met one of you sitting here when he was 14? He may already be in the kingdom. I would like all of you to stand up for a moment. And I would like every single student from kindergarten all the way up, if you're a student, I'm going to ask you to come up here and stand in front with me for a moment. Come quickly. And if you need mom and dad to come with you, you can too. That's fine, I don't mind. Just stand right here. And I'm going to ask the elders, any elders that are in the building, just to come up with me right now. Hi, Shiloh. Come on, make room for him. Hi, Josh. And now I'm going to ask those of you, in a moment the elders are going to pray for each one of them, and Pastor David's going to pray a blessing over them. If you want to stand with these young people, would you come and stand behind them? Moms, dads, young adults, stand with them. It is so cool that Jesus said, the kingdom of God belongs to them. The cool news of the gospel is the kingdom of God is available to all of us. I don't think Jesus was excluding anybody, but he was making a strong point of emphasis. Don't you forget, the kingdom belongs to these. I want to encourage you that if you're in middle or high school, come be with us on Friday night, May 1st at Mosaic, at the Refuge location. Come be with us. There's a sign-up sheet outside the door by Mosaic table. If you want to come help, we need prophets, pastors, apostles, teachers, people with gifts of mercy, hospitality, people with gifts of administration. We need all the gifts in operation. Why? Because the window to win this generation is small. We're called Harvest Assembly for a reason. Let's see Christ harvest a generation. Amen.
The lines here are pretty thick, so I just want to take a minute. If your young one is up here and you haven't been able to, you know, come and touch them and put your hand on them, let's take a minute. Is there anybody has children up here and you're way back there and you can't come up here to you? Yeah, let's make a way for mom and dad just for a minute. I see a few of them squirming up here. Come on up here. Yeah, I know how important that is. If my child was up here, I'd want to be up here too. So, yeah, those of you, all right, good. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the clear revelation of the simplicity of how the gospel works on the world today. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you said so clearly to us that unless we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom. So first and foremost, Lord, I pray for us adults that we'd never lose the heart of a child. Father, we ask for a renewal of that in our lives, that regardless of our age, the simplicity of a child would never depart from our hearts. And Lord, thank you today that Pastor Mike has brought that reality back towards us. So Lord, we pray for any renewal necessary in our own lives to make sure that that simplicity of childhood stays with us through all of our days, regardless of our years. And Father, I pray for the moms and dads here today, that there would be no sense of simply relinquishing the spiritual responsibility of their children to Pastor Mike and his leaders. That Lord, as moms and dads, we first and foremost accept responsibility for the conversion, for the discipleship, and for the spreading of the kingdom into our kids' lives. Lord, we pray today that as Pastor Mike and his team and Pastor Bill and his team are simply people that come, we come to join with mom and dad to support the kingdom in their home, that we are not a substitute for it, God. And then finally, Lord, we pray for a harvest of the multitudes who have no moms and dads that love Christ. But instead, God, that we would be a church of courage who would welcome them warmly into our midst, that we would not be concerned about of defilement, but instead that we would believe that the gospel is so powerful that when we bring it to these young people, it will transform them, it will touch them, it will turn them into kingdom citizens that will cause the kingdom of God to grow and expand. And Lord, I pray one more thing as we close out today, that those that step up and are part of it, whether it's to bake cookies or hold a door open, Father, redeem their sacrifice. Redeem the time that they spend and invest in the hearts and lives of young people today. God, we thank you. You made it so very simple. So Lord, release now your anointing to that end that we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody who believes it and proclaims it said,
yeah.
Thank you all. Have a supernatural day.